Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm.
move over and let me praise him. Welcome. You tuned in to Unfailing Love Ministries Church on Live Live. And we thank you for joining us this Saturday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are so excited. It's been a minute since church been on live, online. And so, yeah, we missed you, and I'm sure you missed us. Remember to call your husband in from the den, from the man cave, where he's probably watching a game or two. Tell him to come on in. Let's have church right here at home. Call the children from outside, wherever they are. Amen. Y'all grab your Bibles. Come on in. Let's get loved on. Amen. By the Lord. At Unfailing Love Ministries, you enter the love zone, even here online. Yeah, we're talking to the world today, even to the universe, and we're sharing our love. The Bible tells us that I will know that you love me by the way you love the brethren. God's love is unfailing. And we are here to declare you today the power of love through relationship with God and through his word. We believe in intent, which is the spirit of love, intensity, which is the spirit of increase, and integrity, which is the spirit of truth. Here at Unfailing Love Ministries, we believe in experiencing, expressing God's love, amen, and emerging in that love and sharing it abroad. So that's what we're doing here on our live broadcast. We're sharing the love. And so to do that, to get us fully opened up and everything, we're going to ask our own Pastor Lonnie to open us up with prayer. And I want you to pray along with him. And let's go. Let's get this Holy Ghost party started. Pastor Lonnie, pray for us.
Open your hearts, y'all. Father God, we thank you right now for this medium that you have created in us, Lord God, to allow us to reach across the world via our telephones and our computers just to collectively give you the praise and the honor that's so due to you. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to be able to hear our pastor spill the words out that you have put in her. And we just bless you, Lord God. We bless you. And I thank you for the hearts that are open to listen to your word through this medium. In Jesus' name, I say hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Pastor Lonnie, for that prayer. You know, we endeavor here to raise up leaders who love. And we have this thing that we say is nothing new, but we chose to make it be a part of our rebel rousing. That is, champions train the hardest. Amen, they do. And so with that, we're going to call Pastor Lonnie on again to kind of be our leadership exhorter today and kind of give our audience, those that are listening, a review of what we've been studying. This year is our year of increase, and we've been going over some lessons from Joel Osteen's book, Breakout, and we've been learning our scripture. Our young people are learning the word of God, and our adults are digging in deep and finding that they're opening up to a greater capacity to receive what God will have for them. This spirit of increase is for not just for Unfailing Love Ministries, but it's for the entire God's, all of God's creation. And so we're going to have Pastor Lonnie to come and just share a little bit of what he's gleaned from our teaching and exhort us in the word today.
Well, what I've been teaching young people, and basically what I've learned myself, is that integrity, we talked about integrity 2 weeks ago with the young people, and integrity, how integrity leads to increase. And we've been reading from Psalms 1, where it says, and I'm just going to paraphrase it the way I like to say it, if you hang out with the wrong people, you're going to get the wrong results. Blessed is the person who doesn't hang out with the wrong people. And I've been teaching the young people that if you study the word of God, you will have increase and not decrease. And they've been getting that word, and you have to be there to see them in the house, how they respond to when we ask them about it. And like Pastor said, well, we want to increase this year. If it doesn't mean anything but increasing our praise, increasing our reaching out to God for his blessing, and increasing our hearing his word, making ourselves available to serve, increase our serving. And we're going to get blessed beyond measure because that's what his word says. And God ain't going to go back on his promises. He can't do that. That's against his rules. And he makes the rules. So what I've learned from our teachings over the last, since our new year has started, is that we're going to get somewhere because we want to be somewhere. And God is going to honor what we where we want to be as long as it's in according with his word. That's what I got. I hope that helped you out.
Well, certainly. It certainly helped me. We also have in the studio with us our own Reverend Deacon Doug. That's what my grandson would call him. And he's been in our adult class, and they have been gleaming from the Word of God through increase the study of increase through the breakout journal. And we're going to have him to share a few words about what the adult class has been getting.
Okay. Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen. Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah.
As we have also we have talked about increase, and increase does not just have to be finance. It could be knowledge. It could be health. And also we talked about faith. And unfailing faith. Faith is that unfailing faith is when you pray for something and then you really don't think it's gonna happen. And we gotta have the faith that, like Paul was saying, that you have to believe that even though you can't see it, that it's gonna happen. And so what we're doing is we're our blessings are passing us by. We half-heartedly have faith. And you got to have faith the size of a mustard seed in order to, for God to bless you. And so faith is come through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the faith, even though it doesn't appear that we're going to have any money. It doesn't appear that we're going to get healthy. But with faith and prayer, that God can change everything. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Deacon Doo, for that. Review of what the adults are learning. We're going to play a song, and when I come back, we're going to get into our teaching for today. And while the song is playing, we're going to go ahead and give you an opportunity to look up these scriptures. We're going to be coming from the book of Nehemiah today, Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to focus on one particular verse in chapter 6, and that is verse 9. Verse 9, and Nehemiah is in the Old Testament, and from Joel's book, the Breakout Journal, we're going to be focusing on chapter 6 in that book, and that kind of brings in our New Testament study. You may not have the book before you. We encourage you to get it, those that are listening in and don't have this. We got this book from... what's the name of that store?
Ollie's,
yeah. So if you don't have an Ollie's in your town, just Amazon.com, look up Joel Osteen's book, Breakout Journal, A Guide to Go Beyond Your Barriers and Live an Extraordinary Life. In chapter 6 of his book, it's entitled Unshakable Faith. Unshakable Faith. And the key characters in that he's talking about is Abraham and Sarah. And so that will be our New Testament backdrop. But again, our focus scripture is going to be Nehemiah 6 and 9. After this song, we'll be right back.
Satisfy
I'm here waiting, and as a relationship to this very hour, we want our hearts to be open for God's word so we can feel it. The Bible says that he sent his word, and it healed them and delivered them from all of their destruction. The word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword, we're told in the word of God. And also, the word of the Lord, amen, the word of the Lord is powerful. And so we are going to lift up the word of the Lord. If you just tuned in, you tuned in to Unfailing Love Ministries Church Live. I am Dr. V, the senior pastor. We have online with us and helping us in ministry today. We have our pastor, Lonnie Williams, and we have Reverend Gould with us today. And so we're going to just move forward in the teaching. We invite you to move right along with us in the word of God. We ask you to go ahead and find Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9. That's in our Old Testament. Our New Testament scripture is going to be coming. We're going to be talking about actually Abraham and Sarah, and that's going to be awesome. We want to reference you to the New Testament word as well, and that's going to come from Romans chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. I should have given you that before we got started. And also, turn there real quickly, Romans 4, 20 to 21, and then also Genesis 18 and 11. That's just some background scripture. I'm going to try to explain it to you as best as I can, pull it all together as God has given it to me. But in lieu, before we go into those direct scriptures, I'm going to go ahead and read the chapter that, and it's a short chapter, so don't get nervous. Chapter 6 in the journal is called Unshakable Faith with Joel Osteen. He says here, his key truth is when God puts a promise in your heart, you have to come to the place where you believe in that promise so strongly, no one and no circumstance can move you. He goes on to say, knowing that extremely difficult circumstances awaited him, the Apostle Paul stated, none of these things move me. That comes from Acts 20 and 24. His attitude was, it doesn't change my mind. I'm not moved by what I see. I am moved by what I know. And I know if God is for me, who dares be against me? I know all of God's promises are yes, hey, Glory to God. And amen. I know God has the final say. When God puts a promise in your heart, you have to come to the place where you believe in that promise so strongly, no one can talk you out of it. It may seem impossible. Your medical report may say there's no way you can get well. It may look like you never get out of debt. All the circumstances may indicate you'll never accomplish your dreams, never meet the right person, or never see your family restored. But deep down, you've got to have this unshakable confidence, a knowing that God is on the throne, working on your behalf so that you can go out each day with passion, with expectancy, and looking for the great things God has in store. He goes on to say, Abraham did just that. God gave him a promise and his wife, that his wife, rather, would have a child. In the natural, Genesis 18 and 11, the word of God says that Abraham and Sarah were past childbearing age. So in the natural, each were nearly 100 years old. But it says Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promised. That's where the Romans 20 and 21 comes from. How could Abraham have this unwavering faith when in the natural all odds were against him? I could see how he could have had at least a glimmer of hope. But it says he just was fully convinced. Joel goes on to say, what was his secret? How he did not consider his own body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, Romans 4 and 19. The key to have an unshakable faith is to not consider your circumstances, but consider your God. Your circumstances, like Sarah's womb, may look barren. Your financial situation may look impossible. The medical report may look hopeless. All the experts may say you will never accomplish your dreams. If you consider only the negatives, you will be discouraged and doubt will creep in, keeping you from God's best. You must be like Abraham instead and say, I will not focus on the negative things, my mind, or what the experts are telling me. I will not focus on how big my problems are. Instead, I will focus on how big my God is. He spoke the world into existence. He flung the stars into space. He's not limited by the natural. He has supernatural power. Talking about my God here. Joel goes on to say, when you focus on God instead of your own circumstances, doubt, fear, anxiety, and negativity don't have a chance. When you make God bigger, your problems become smaller. When you magnify God instead of magnifying your difficulties, faith rises in your heart. That faith will keep you fully persuaded that God will make a way, even though you don't see a way. And the beauty is that God will show up and do amazing things. On last week, while we were in church in our physical facility, which is located at 2014 Corden Avenue, the RCC Village Complex, God was giving us our mentor Nehemiah. That's why I actually refer back to Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 9 today. And Nehemiah had gotten permission and resources from his king that he was serving at the time as a cupbearer, spiritual cupbearer. And he got the resources to go back and build the wall of Jerusalem, and he did so. We talked about how Nehemiah went by night and surveyed all the destruction, all the rubble, all where the wall was torn down and had been burned, and he saw the condition. He didn't let anybody know what he was doing. He kept it on the down low. But he saw what needed to be done. But he had a made up mind, had already had been talking to God, and God had given him secret instructions, and he was carrying out those instructions very courageously. He was bold enough to go ask the king for leave and resources and protection, and the king gave him everything he asked for. When he got to his hometown, Jerusalem, and saw the destruction, he was not discouraged by it. It was a monumental work. It was a whole lot to be done. Nehemiah could not do it by himself, but he had a promise in his heart that God was going to be with him, we believe. And the reason we believe that, because we find in Scripture, if you read starting the first chapter of Nehemiah all the way down to the sixth, you will see Nehemiah talking to God, Nehemiah being strengthened by God, Nehemiah being affirmed that God was going to be with him. And so like Abraham and Sarah, he was looking at one man, a crusade, and he had to go back to where people were already seeing this, living beyond these broken down walls and living in this place that was not protected, and seeing how dire and in desperate need they were they needed for their lives to be protected and restored. And he was not discouraged by that one bit, not one bit. Abraham and Sarah could have been discouraged because of their old age, but they did not focus on the impossible. They focused on the possible in God. And so I believe that Nehemiah had that same kind of resolve as Abraham and Sarah, which is why I believe that Joel was onto something here when he was writing this from their perspective. But tonight, I want to focus on what some things that we saw in Scripture that Nehemiah did in terms of rebuilding the wall. And you think of some of the things that Joel pointed out that we may be discouraged by, you know, a doctor's report, or our debt, broken relationships, whatever it might be. When you look at the rubble, when you look at how things are broken down, how long they've been broken down, when you look and see that nobody else had endeavored to become passionate enough to have the idea to go rebuild or help you rebuild, that you may be discouraged. But Nehemiah was not discouraged. And I believe that we're going to find in Scripture tonight what helped him to stay encouraged to get the work done. And I want you to listen very intently to this, because I really believe you're going to be encouraged, you know, when you hear what the Scripture is really speaking, I think, very loudly to us. We talk a whole lot of times about how challenging life can be, you know, how monumental things can come up against you. We need to talk more about how awesome God is in handling our business, you know. And so this is what Nehemiah did. Let's look at that sixth chapter again. Already, after Nehemiah had surveyed the land, and people found out what he was getting ready to do, all his naysayers, all his disencouraging people had gathered around, and he had already proclaimed to them, "I'm doing a good work, and I'm not coming down." But they persisted. So here in the sixth chapter, we find Nehemiah saying at the ninth. Well, let me back up to the. Back up a few verses just in case you're not familiar with that. Verse 4 says, "But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner," in which he answered them in verse 3. He says, So I sent messages to them saying, "I am doing a good work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?" And so Nehemiah was saying again, I sent them, every time they sent me a message, I sent back, because I'm doing a good work, I'm not coming down. And then verse 5 says, "Then Samalak sent his servant to me as before the fifth time." Here we go. "And this was an open letter in his hand." Listen to this very carefully. In his hand was this open letter. And in it was written this: "It is reported among the nations, and Jissam says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall. that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. And here's Nehemiah talking in verse 8. Then I said to him, saying, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Verse 9. For they were all here trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Strengthen my hands. Some versions say strengthen me. But I like this particular version, which is a New King James Version. It says, strengthen, Father, strengthen my hands. When I think about what Nehemiah is saying here, here he goes again praying. Again, you've got to read the first six chapters to see how often Nehemiah prayed and how powerful he was in connecting with God so he could hear God encouraging him and backing him up. He had been faced with the fifth time of getting a word to tell him to stop the work and to discourage him. But he... And instead of sending back to them on the fifth time, he just turned to the Lord and said, God, strengthen my hand. And I want to encourage you tonight, wherever you are in the whole world, if you're facing all the rubbish, all the destruction, all the torn down walls, everything around you is in a place of discord and dis-ease and you don't see any hope, but yet and still there's something inside of you that said, I can do this. I can get up and build a wall. I want you to learn to pray like Nehemiah prayed and even more so. God, strengthen my hands. Well, what is he asking God to do? He's saying not only, first of all, we talked about this, how when people come to discourage you, the first thing is going to catch hold of that word of discouragement is in your mind. You're going to start agreeing with them in your mind. Well, they say, I can't do this. Well, maybe I can. Or they say, I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. Well, maybe I am. See, those words from your enemy that come to God, try to get to stop you from doing what God has ordained you and appointed you and anointed you to do, is going to first try to put doubt in your mind and then in your heart to do the work, and eventually in your hands. Because what your thoughts tell you to do, what your passion and your heart tell you to do, eventually your hands are going to be set to it, right? And so here is Nehemiah. They didn't get to my mind. They didn't get to my heart. But just in case it got to my hands, Father, strengthen my hands. In other words, what are your hands used to do? Your hands are used to reach, right? That's one thing your hands are used to do. You know, even babies reach out. Amen. You learn to reach first. Even if you're saying, gimme, you learn how to pull out that hand and say, can I have this? Strengthen my reach, Father. Can I reach this? Can I pull what I want to myself? And so he said, strengthen my reach. Don't let me start reaching for the gold. Don't let me start reaching for that you have appointed and anointed me to do. And the second thing I believe that this is so significant that he asked God to strengthen his hand, we want to have a firm grip on what God has ordained us to do. God called us to do. God called you to, he says, strengthen those things that remain that are ready to die, it says over in Revelations. That's there. And so you need a strong grip on what your dream and what your goal and what you want to accomplish. And so it's not just enough for you to reach, but you got to hold, you got to grip it. You got to make contact with it and hold it tight. So strengthen my grip, God. Let me put my hands on the work. And let me not be discouraged to let it go. And then after strengthening your reach and then strengthening your grip, I believe that he was asking God to give me the the wherewithal, the resolve to hold on to it. In other words, no matter how long it takes, no matter how many people are with me or not with me, let me hold on to it till it's done. Don't let me drop it. Don't let me walk away from it because it gets hard or gets difficult or I don't see any change anytime soon. A lot of times we get discouraged because it takes a long time for change to take place. Time, sometimes, will discourage us. I was just talking to my niece earlier before the broadcast. She's 19 weeks pregnant. The baby won't be due until July. I said, you're going to have a hot summer baby. I said, and so by the time June get here, you're going to be saying, baby, hurry up and come. Would you come right now? You don't have to wait till July. I'm ready. You're getting heavy, you know, and all kinds of things are happening to me. My feet swollen, my face swollen, you know, all kinds of things are going on. But yet and still, hold on. Don't premature do anything. Don't rush the plan of God, because when that baby is born full term, that baby is healthy, the heart is good, the lungs are good, you know, all the fingers and toes and everything that needs to be there is there. You're going to birth a healthy baby. You're going to birth a healthy dream if you hold on, if you don't give up, if you don't try to run ahead of God. You know, strengthen my hand, God, so I can reach, so I can grip, so I can hold on. Amen. Things get heavy. How many times do you just carry something, go, I can't hold it no more. I got to drop it. I just got to drop it. It's too heavy for me. Well, if you don't ask God to give you God's strength, the Bible says, well, you're weak, what? I am strong. Ask for God, the God kind of strength. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, God, if this cup could pass, nevertheless, hey, kill him, I'll see y'all done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Ask God to give your hand the kind of will it needs to hold on when things get heavy, when you know that what you're facing is going to be difficult, when you know that what you're facing is going to be painful, when you know that what you're facing, you're going to have to face it alone, that those people around you are not going to be able to stand up under the pressure that you can stand up under. Ask God to strengthen your hand. Ask God to strengthen your resolve. Ask God to strengthen your grip. Ask God to strengthen your reach. Jesus said that I come to do the will of him who sent me. My meat is to do his will. I desire, even beyond my own pain, even beyond the pressure, even beyond what it's doing to my flesh, you know, I'm going to push past my flesh. I'm going to push past the pain, and I'm going to hold on. Grip, yes. Hold on, God, give me the desire to hold on until the end, till I've completed the work that you've called for me to do. Nehemiah needed that kind of resolve if that wall was going to be rebuilt. He had to take that resolve and convey it to those that he's going to ask to work night and day. He said, finally, a few scriptures later, a few verses later, he said to the people, after all of this fifth discouragement, and the fifth time, He got the grace of God to ask God for more strength in his hands, because he was going to have to tell his brethren, you're going to have to do this with a sword in your hand, and you have to do the work, and you're going to have to do it night and day until this wall gets built. And it took them 52 days to get it done, and it was completed. And so we thank God for Nehemiah being our encouragement today in the Word. God strengthened our hands. You know what's going on in your life. You know where you need your strength. You need strength of mind, yes. You need strength of heart, yes. But you need, like the songwriter said, feet don't fail me now, hands don't fail me now. God, let me reach, let me grip, and let me hold on to that you have appointed for me. I don't want to let it go until it's done. Have that resolve. I'm not going to give up until it's done. Have that resolve that the songwriter or the writer and famous motivator Les Brown said, it ain't over till I win. And I believe that was in Nehemiah's heart too. It ain't over until this wall is built. It ain't over until that God has appointed me to do is done. But he knew how to go to the source and get what he needed. He didn't say, God, you know, I can handle this from here. He said, no, God, strengthen my hand. You do it, God, and then I know I'll be able to make it. Let's pray together as a family, a church family, and as believers, and wherever you are, have this mindset right here. Lord, if you strengthen my hand, I can go through it. I can hear the naysayers, but keep working because I know I'm doing a good work. I may be past the age like Sarah and Abraham. The womb may be dried up. You know, I may not have the same amount of passion that I had from the beginning, but I got enough to make it. I'm going to make it because God is strengthening me. And so I want to encourage you tonight, if I can just encourage you. Look at, you don't have one hand, but you got two hands. Look at both of those hands right now. Look at the five fingers. You know, in fact, I just thank you, Father, for reminding me. I had one of my patients not too long ago. His hand, fingers were cut off by an industrial accident when he was a young teacher. And so all he had was a little nub of a thumb on both of his hands. But you know, he learned how to write, continue to write. And that happened to him over 30, 35 years ago. He learned how to write with those nubs. He learned how to continue to work. You know, he worked till he was retired. In other words, it wasn't just in his physical hand. It was in his physical constitution. In his resolve. I can make it with what's left. God strengthened my hands. If I've been discouraged by what has happened to me physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, if my friends, even my family members, they don't believe I can get it done, but God, I believe with your help I can get it done. And so help me to stay right there. Help me to reach for that resolve that can only be found in you. Let me grip it with my hand and let me hold on to it until it's done. Father, that is our prayer tonight and in this message, Lord God. We will get increase in our lives if you would strengthen our hands. Let that be our prayer every day. And no matter what situation comes up in our lives, Father God, let us have the resolve to know, you know, we look to the hills, yes, which come of our help. Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for your strength. The Bible clearly tells us, let the weak say I am what? Strong. Let the poor say I am what? Rich. Begin to have a resolve that you're going to say the opposite of what you see. Amen? And that's how you'll apprehend. This is the word of the Lord for today. I pray, God, that you have enjoyed the word. What we do at Nonfailing Love Ministries is we ask our sage leaders to help ground the word by giving you their take on what they receive from the word. And so we're going to open up the lines right now for those that are listening, our leaders, and those that are even guests to come forward and give us their take on the word. I'm going to open up. I'm going to have Deacon, Reverend Deacon Doug, to go ahead and start our sage leaders off in their
praise the Lord, everyone. What I got from it was you cannot listen to what everyone says. And I have a short testimony. When I was in high school, because I didn't have a mother and father, I was in the yearbook, it said I was the least likely to succeed. And if I could have easily listened to that, because I didn't have a mother and a father, yeah, they're probably right. But I refused to do that. And that's the same in Jeremiah. They did everything in the world to try to distract him from building the wall and sending messengers after messenger. But sometimes we just have to, you know, continue on, because the devil tried to stop you, tell you you can't do it. They even told them that their hands were going to get too weak, try to intimidate them. But we have to go forward, and that's what Nehemiah was doing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Goo, for that review. And now we're going to go to our own Pastor Wani.
In Nehemiah's verse, that 9 and 6, or 6:9, it says, the hands were dropped from the work and will not be done, but now, O God, strengthen my hands. So I'm going to allude to this here. And I'm not a big Patriots fan, but last time when the Super Bowl came up, them boys was losing pretty good. But when the Patriots started seeing the vision of the win, when their hand became strengthened for the vision, they took over and they won their game without breaking, without thinking about it. They just bust tail. So that's what God does for us. If we have our vision and we see the vision that God has given us and ask for the strength of that vision, to maintain us, to get, be successful in it, we will be successful and we will prosper. That's what
Amen.
I got. And that's how they was able to finish the wall no matter what the people was trying to back them down to do.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. All right. I think we have another leader on the line. Prefix 767, you want to share?
Yes. Praise the Lord. What I got out of that was to continue to stay focused on God, because what I've been going through, I had different people telling me, you ought to do this and you ought to do that and you ought to stop, you ought to stop. But Nehemiah had a made up mind that he was not going to stop. He was not going to go and do what they had asked him to do. Sometimes we get to a point that we can't, that we can't hear everybody, because everybody that say they're with you is not with you. So I had to make up, I had to make up in my mindset that I needed to hear God through every given situation, every deceit situation that the enemy tried to come over me with, every spirit of frustration that he tried to pull over me. I had to hear God. So Nehemiah heard God's voice, and he knew what God wanted him to do. So he had to stay focused so the wall could be completed. So I'm just saying that what I'm doing right now, I'm staying focused so the work of God can be completed, and not just my life, but for the life of others. Our testimony is not for us. It's for other people that have gone through and going through what we have already been through.
Amen. Praise God. You're so right. You're so right, Pastor. Oh, my God, Pastor Bennett, that is so true. Thank you for that. Then we have someone else on the line, prefix 571. Would you like to share?
Yes. Praise the Lord, family.
Amen.
Yes, that word was a word, and just keep going. Keep going, and when it seems like it's too much for me, which y'all know I go through that a lot, the Lord just piles on so much, but he says it's not too much for him, and don't
Amen.
Get because he's doing everything anyway, so. And then I just listen and relax and let him do it through me and not me. But just keep going, and rest. I'm learning to rest more when he says rest. And you talked about balance. So as I lean more onto the Lord and let him stretch me, and I find that the biggest stretch is getting some balance in my life, but just trusting him and believing and just letting him, whenever we take something on ourselves, give it back to him and wait for the order, wait for the direction, wait for, you know, the word to go left or right, up or down, stop, go, and just rest in him, let him do it. Just trust in him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. Glory to God. God, strengthen our hands tonight. Just
do
it.
Yes. Yes.
Want to encourage you that are listening either now or archive, and we pray you listen to archive. We certainly are going to put the full broadcast up on Facebook and ask you to share it with your friends that you might be encouraged by. We also want to encourage you to come to Unfailing Love Ministries in our brick-and-mortar facility located at 2014 Gordon Avenue in the RCC complex. That's there on Saturdays. At 5 p.m., we have the Word to the Heart University, where we're digging deep in the Word and uncovering the richness and the wealth that God has for us, the secrets to success in there. Joshua 1:8 said, "This book of the law should not depart from your mouth, lest you meditate on it both day and night. Then you can make your way successful, and then you can have good success." So we invite you to study the word in depth with us at 5 p.m. on Saturdays. At 6 p.m. we have our worship My Soul Waits. We have our leadership lessons, our exhortations, and the Word of God, what you've just heard and the response to that word just there. And so when the mind that you're going to have the capacity to receive all that God has for you, and you'll want to do what the scripture says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves and come together amongst other believers so you can stay encouraged. Come into the Love Zone at Unfailing Love Ministries on Sundays, and we will be happy. I want to also ask you to go on Facebook. We're on Facebook Live, Unfailing Love Ministries. We have a page there. The pastor, the senior pastor, I have a page there, Dr. V with Love, Dr. Verling Good, and we have some good stuff going on there, so we want you to stay abreast of that wonderful calendar rolling out this year. We also have supporters from around the country that helped us start this work a little over 2 years ago. We thank God for them. We're going to ask them to continue to support us. We're raising up a generation of people, young people, to keep the church moving forward and growing. We believe in them, and we're asking everyone that knows of our work to continue to encourage us in prayer, continue to encourage us financially. If you'd like to sow a seed, this is good ground. Sow a seed to Unfailing Love Ministries. You can send your check, a money order, or to our physical address, which is 8542 Sunningdale Terrace, Chesterfield, Virginia, 23832. Again, that is 8542 Sunningdale Terrace, Chesterfield, Virginia, 23832. And or we really would love for you to come and sow a seed live so we can love on you immediately this there. But sow a seed of any amount, you'll be sowing into absolutely awesome ground. We'll be again in the sanctuary again next Saturday, and we want you to join us there. And at this time, we're going to allow Pastor Joyce Bennett to close us out in prayer. And we want to thank you again for joining us on Unfailing Love Ministries. God bless you, and we love you.
Yes, Father God, we just want to thank you tonight, Lord God. We bless every listener, Lord God, that tuned in tonight, Lord God. We bless our pastor tonight and all the leaders that came forth tonight, Lord God. We just bless the work of our hands, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, that you're strengthening us, Lord God, in every given situation, in every circumstance, Lord God, that it's not our will, it's your will be done. And Lord, as we leave our shata, as we close tonight, Lord God, we ask that you will comfort us, Lord God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You'll be right there with us, Father. And it's in Jesus' holy name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Dr. V, and you are tuned in to Unfailing Love Ministries, where each week we embrace the scriptures with intent, intensity, and integrity so you might experience the love of God, not only the love of God, but the peace of God. Join us each week.